Shabbat Shalom, and Shabbat Shalom to those who are watching with us today. I have a message today I want to give that's called Kadosh, Unclean, or Common. Kadosh, Unclean, or Common. And basically in Scripture, there's three states of being for a person to be in. And we usually understand about Kadosh. We've talked about that many times, right? Holy or set apart to Yahweh. And we've talked about being unclean. You know, things like pork is unclean. And even our actions can be unclean. Being in a covetous spirit can be unclean. But do we really understand what it means to be common? And that's the one I'm going to focus on most today, which is also rejected by Yahweh. If we're common, we're rejected by Yahweh. So let's start in Leviticus 11. And I'll go over briefly of unclean and then briefly of Kodesh. And then most of the time we'll spend on, like I said, common. So Leviticus 11, 1 through 12. And Yahweh spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying to them, "Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, these are the living things which you shall eat of all the animals which are on the earth. Any that divides the hoof and is wholly cloven-footed, bringing up the cud, among the living things you may eat of it. Only you may not eat these things, of those bringing up the cud, of those dividing the hoof. The camel, though it brings up the cud, yet it does not divide the hoof, it is unclean to you. And the rock badger, though it brings up the cud and it does not divide the hoof, it is unclean to you. And the hare, the rabbit, though it brings up the cud and it does not divide the hoof, it is unclean to you. And the swine, the pig, though it divides the hoof and is cloven-footed, yet it does not bring up the cud, it is unclean to you. You shall not eat of their flesh, and you shall not touch their dead body. They are unclean to you. Of all that are in the waters, you shall eat these. Anyone that has fins and scales in the waters, in the seas, in the brooks, you may eat them. But anyone that does not have fins and scales in the seas and in the brooks, of any swarming creature of the waters, and of any creature which lives in the water, they are detested by you." So shellfish, right? Because they're scavengers. They go on the bottom and they basically eat all the garbage and the dirt. So it's interesting. He says they're to be detested by us, hated by us. "Yes, they shall be an abomination to you." So we see that many times with things that are unclean, they're actually called abomination even. "You shall not eat of their flesh, and you shall not shun their dead bodies. Anyone that does not have fins and scales in the waters, it shall be unclean to you. And these you shall count unclean among the fowls. They shall not be eaten. They are unclean. The eagle, the black vulture, the bearded vulture," which are all scavengers, basically. Birds that are scavengers are not clean birds. The kite, the falcon, the raven, you know, the ostrich, the owl, the gull, the hawks, and so on. So, I'm going to stop there. But Yahweh clearly says that these are abominations. Now drop down to verse 41. We drop down to verse 41. He says, "And every swarming thing which swarms on the earth is unclean. It shall not be eaten. Bugs and all kinds of creeping things on the earth. Anything going on its belly and any going on all fours and all having many feet, even every swarming thing that swarms on the earth, you shall not eat them, for they are unclean." Thousand leggers running around. You know, they are not to eat them. "You shall not pollute yourself with any swarming thing that swarms, nor shall you make yourself unclean with them so that they should be defiled by them, so that you should be defiled by them. For I am Yahweh your Elohim, and you have sanctified yourself, and you have become holy, Kadosh, for I am Kadosh, and you shall not defile your person with any swarming thing that creeps on the earth. For I am Yahweh who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to become your Elohim, and you shall be Kadosh, for I am Kadosh." So that's very, very clear, right? The Hebrew word for defiled is tomei, and it literally means to be defiled, unclean, unpure, and as we see, even abominable. So, like I said, it's not used just for food. It's also used also in conditions of covetedness and things like that. The word is also used. I'll use just one other example, then we'll move on. Leviticus 13. It says, "And Yahweh spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man has a swelling in the skin of his flesh, or a scab, or a bright spot, and it shall become in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought into Aaron the priest, or one of the sons of the priest, and the priest shall look upon the plague in the skin of the flesh, and if the hair in the plague has turned white, and the appearance of the plague is deeper than the skin of his flesh, It shall be a plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look upon him and shall pronounce him unclean. So when we see the word leprosy in the Bible, it's not just the leprosy we think of today, but it's a broad scale of like something that's infectious that can be spread to other people. So it's not necessarily every time like Ben-Hur, you know, where they have scales all over the body and there are things like that. But if they are unclean, you know, then what happens? Verse 46, and they go into here all the other types of leprosy. It says, in the days that the plague shall be on him, he is unclean. He shall live alone. He is unclean. His dwelling shall be at the outside of the camp. And it's interesting, for many, many years I've talked about quarantine. I've talked about when people are sick, even coming to the feast. I can't tell you how many times that somebody came with a cough or a cold, and you ask them to quarantine for a day, and they don't do it in, you know, in 2 or 3 days. Half the people in the congregation have it. Matter of fact, I heard a story from a friend of mine in another Sacred Name congregation from last year that somebody came with COVID, and within 3 to 4 days, they had 200 people at their feast. Almost everybody had COVID. So now we're in a different situation, because now it's a situation where it's things that can kill somebody. But basically, what do we see? If there is a plague where, whether it's, like I said, leprosy or somebody is contagious, they need to be separated from the rest of the camp, right? They need to be quarantined. It's pretty simple. So doing something that Yahweh would forbid to make a person unclean would have him separated from the camp. And the last scripture I'll go in here is Deuteronomy 19. Deuteronomy 19 in verse 15 that we see this. Deuteronomy 19 and verse 15. It says, one witness shall not rise against a man for any iniquity or for any sin. In any sin which he sins, at the mouth of 2 witnesses or at the mouth of 3 witnesses, a thing shall be established. You know? And then if we continue on there in verse 18. And the judges shall carefully investigate, and behold, if the witness is a false witness, he has testified falsely against his brother. So why do you need at least 2 or 3 witnesses? Because people lie. So this way, like I said, if somebody is lying, that's why you need 2 or 3. Now, if the judge finds out the person is lying, then what happens? Then you shall do to him as he plotted to do to his brother, and you shall put away the evil from among you. So there are times where you have to put away the evil from among you. You see this over and over again in the Torah and even in the New Testament. You know, warn a divisive person once, warn him twice, then put him away from you. So there is a time where we have to put people away when they are spiritually unclean, you know, where they're going to harm other people. They're going to spiritually infect other people. So that's pretty much all I'm going to say about unclean. We have full messages I have online. We have actually a whole lesson on unclean that you could look at if you're listening to this for the first time. But let's go into now for a little bit on Kadosh. Kadosh, which is what? Holiness that's set apart to Yahweh. So there can be things set apart to anything. But when we see Kadosh, and that's why I don't mind the word holy. Some people don't like it. They think it possibly can come from some Teutonic god or something. But actually, in Hebrew, Kadosh doesn't only mean to Yahweh. Kadosh could be to even a prostitute in Scripture. They use the word Kadosh, that it's separated to something. It's simply separated, but there is Kadosh also to Yahweh. But when you see the word holy in English, there's only one thing it means. The only connotation to holy is separated to Yahweh. So we go to Thessalonians 4. We'll see this, Thessalonians 4. He says, for the rest then, brothers, we beg you and we exhort in our Master Yeshua, even as you received from us, how you ought to walk and please Yahweh, that you abound more. For you know what commands we gave you through the Master Yeshua. For this is the will of Yahweh, your sanctification. The word sanctification is the same word. It means set apart to Yahweh. That's what sanctification means. For you to abstain from fornication, each one of you to know to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, right? Set apart to Yahweh. Not in passion of lust or even as the nations do, not knowing Yahweh, right? So we're supposed to be different than the nations. That's the way we're supposed to be. So being Kadosh is our vocation. It's not just something that we practice on Sabbath. It's not something that we just do when people are watching. It's our vocation. We do it every day of our life. Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 1. Because we see this all over the Torah. This is what Yahweh commanded the Israelites, that they are to be set apart to Him when they came out of Egypt. When Yahweh your Elohim, Deuteronomy 7 and verse 1, shall bring you into the land to which you are going to possess it, and He casts out many nations from before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations larger and mightier than you. And when Yahweh your Elohim shall give them up before you, and you strike them, then you shall utterly destroy them. You shall not cut a covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. Wow. So why would Yahweh say this? Why would Yahweh tell people when they're going into this land to kill everybody? To kill them all. Why would He say it? Because if they don't kill them, then the people of the lands are going to affect the Israelites, and the Israelites are going to become just like them. They won't be sanctified. They won't be set apart. And when Yahweh your Elohim shall give you up before them, you shall utterly strike them and utterly destroy them. You shall not cut a covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. And that's the problem, you know, that as nations we shouldn't be. Even America, why do they make covenants with Russia and China when they know they're not going to keep them? It doesn't make any sense. He says, nor shall you intermarry with them, right? Just like the New Testament says. You shall not give your daughter to his son, nor shall you take his daughter for your son. Because what are you going to do? You're going to dilute your sanctification. For he will turn your son away from following me, that they may serve other Elohim, and the anger of Yahweh will glow against you, and he will destroy you quickly. But you shall deal with them in this way. You shall break down their altars, and shall shatter in pieces their pillars, and shall cut down their Asherahs, and you will burn their carved images with fire. For you are a Kadosh, a holy people to Yahweh your Elohim. Yahweh your Elohim has chosen you to be his own treasure out of all the people on the face of the earth, right? So we're supposed to be only set apart to Yahweh. And it's very clear why. And if he didn't say to go in other lands and kill the people in their lands. He said to kill the people within the land of Israel. You have to get rid of them. You have to separate. Because if there's a mixed multitude, you're done. Because the mixed multitude always wins. And I say that a lot, and I'm going to say it today as we go into this message, as we get into it more. Are you affecting them or are they affecting you? You know, that's really what it comes down to. Leviticus 10. Let's go back to Leviticus 10. And verse 1. Leviticus 10 and verse 1. And this is the situation with the sons of Aaron, right? When they went into the holy place without the right type of sanctification. And we'll see what the end result was. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer, and this is the censer for burning incense, and put fire in them. And they put incense on it and brought profane fire before Yahweh, which he had not commanded them, right? So Yahweh has a specific way, and even with worship, that's why we say, why can't we celebrate Christmas? Why can't we celebrate things like Ishtar Sunday? Because they're abominations to Yahweh. It's from paganism. And he tells us exactly how to worship him. We don't have to guess. So Yahweh told Aaron exactly how to put worship over here. What did his sons do? They not only went in there and did it incorrectly, as we see from here, it sounds like they were probably even drinking before they went in there. So they brought this strange fire that Yahweh never commanded, and what happened? And fire went out from before Yahweh and consumed them, and they died before Yahweh. And Moses said to Aaron, it is which Yahweh has spoken, saying, I will be treated kadosh, set apart, by those drawing near to me, and I will be honored before all people. And Aaron was silent. Right? Wow. Can you imagine? Think about it. You see your children consumed like that before your eyes for what they did, and you'd be a little scared as he was. Drop down to verse 8. Now he's going to tell him what went on here. And Yahweh spoke to Aaron, saying, you shall not drink wine or fermented drink, you nor your sons with you, as you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, and you shall not die, a never-ending statute throughout your generations. And it sounded like that's what they did. and to make a distinction. Why? Between the holy and the profane, and between the unclean and the clean. And this is what we're going to see, that as believers, it shouldn't be that hard to make the distinction between the holy and the profane, right? The kadosh and the unclean, because Yahweh tells us. The problem is when things become common, as we're going to see, then it's like the Laodicean, then it's like neutral ground, and it's hard to tell anymore. So he says this, to make a distinction between the holy and the profane, and the unclean and the clean, and to teach the sons of Israel all the statutes which Yahweh has commanded to them by the hand of Moses. Right? So that's the reason why. There has to be a holy, there has to be a profane, so we know the difference. Just like I said, Yahweh says to Laodicean, I wish you were hot nor cold, but when you're lukewarm, it's a mixture together, and then it's hard to tell anymore. It's hard to tell what is hot, what is cold, what is holy, what is unclean. So we're commanded to be separated to Yahweh. We're commanded to be kadosh to Yahweh. Let's go to Exodus 31. Now let's start, now that we're getting this here, let's start putting it into a little more practicality here. A little more examples of it, I should say, because I want to go into some specific examples of how not knowing this can affect us in our life and in our walk with Yahweh. Exodus 31 and verse 12 says, and Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, and you speak to the sons of Israel, charging them, right? Commanding them, only my Sabbaths you shall keep. So you hear people saying that my Sabbath is Sunday, or, you know, and that could be their Sabbath, but Yahweh only has one Sabbath. There's only one day, there's only 7 days in a week, you know, and it comes from creation, and Yahweh created the world in 6 days, and he rests on the seventh day, and he set apart the seventh day from creation to show who the creator is. So it's that simple. So this is his Sabbath, and he says, only his Sabbath you shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you for your generation, to know that I am Yahweh, your sanctifier. And that's why we have a 7 day week, right? But we have one day that's set apart, one day that's sanctified. And you shall keep the Sabbath, for it is kadosh to you. It is set apart for you. The profaners of it shall surely be executed. For everyone doing work in it, that soul shall be cut off from the midst of his people. Work may be done 6 days, now the seventh day is a Shabbat of rest. Holy, kadosh, set apart to Yahweh. Everyone doing work on the Sabbath day surely shall be put to death. And the sons of Israel will guard the Sabbath to observe and to do the Sabbath for their generations. It is a never-ending covenant. It is a sign forever between me and the sons of Israel. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So one way, when people ask you, how can you prove Yahweh exists? The fact that we're sitting here today proves he exists. Because from creation, he has had somebody every seventh day resting and honoring him. And that proves that he's creator. It proves his existence. This is why the Sabbath covenant is kadosh, as every week reminds us to stay separated to Yahweh. So it's not just about the Sabbath. It's not just about not cooking today or cleaning today. Every seventh day should remind us this is how our whole life should be. Our whole life should be separated to Yahweh. So the Sabbath is a weekly reminder, right? This is why I say, you know, with conditioning, we're creatures of habit. Yahweh made us that way. And he made us that way. And that's why he gave us the Sabbath, so we'd be conditioned every seventh day to keep our life sanctified to him. And now, look at Christianity, right? Christians, by doing away with the Sabbath, by doing away with the Torah, what does it do? By eating pork. They're not sanctified to Yahweh. They're no different than anybody else in the world. The divorce rate in Christianity is higher than the world, right? They do everything the world does. So the world is not kadosh. Not the world, but Christianity is not kadosh. By doing away with the Torah and doing away with the Sabbath, and like I said, eating defiled foods and all these things, intermarrying with the world, divorce, keeping the pagan-filled days, they're not kadosh. They're not set apart to Yahweh. And how can they be an example? A matter of fact, they're the worst example, because their example is that you can continue to be defiled and be just like the world, but Jesus loves you. And that's not the way it works. They are sending people to a death sentence without even knowing it. So it's sad, but we understand it. And the last scripture on Kadosh, Hebrews 13 and verse 12. Indeed, because of this, in order that he, Yeshua, might sanctify the people by his own blood, Yeshua suffered outside the gate. So the most important thing, and this is probably a whole sermon, which I have done on this, is I think one was called Sanctified to Yah, but we are sanctified by the blood of Yeshua. So we couldn't be sanctified to Yahweh without the blood of Yeshua. The blood of Yeshua is what sets us apart from life to death and everything else. And that's what sets us apart of being believers. So that's the most important sanctified thing in our life is the blood of Yeshua. So I think at least to a degree, we understand this already. Like I said, I did especially on holiness and Kadosh. I did many, many, many studies on it and sermons on it. And I think at least to a degree, we don't always do it the way we should. But at least to a degree, I think we at least understand what it means, right? But the one I think that people don't really understand is the third part. Because like I said, there's three conditions you can be in. You can be in a condition of being unclean. You can be in a condition of being kadosh, set apart to Yahweh. Or you can be in a condition of being common. And I think that many brethren are in this condition without knowing it. Because they don't understand it. And that's why I want to take the majority of the sermon on this, right? So what do I mean by common? Common is used by all. It's not unclean, but it's not sanctified to Yahweh. But you know what? It's almost like a Laodicean. It's like being lukewarm. But it's used by all. It's the way everybody does it. But the interesting part is that it is also rejected by Yahweh. To be common is also to be rejected by Yahweh, as we're going to see here. So let's start in Romans 14, because there's two almost whole chapters that talk about the state of being common. And Yahweh even uses this example when he's calling Gentiles into the new covenant, as we're going to see. But I'm going to start here in Romans 14, because this is a chapter that's much misunderstood. People try to use this to say that it doesn't matter what day you celebrate on, which Romans 14 is not even talking about the Sabbath day at all. The word Sabbath is not in this chapter at all. Romans 14 is talking about one thing very, very specific. It's talking about meat sacrificed to idols. Because in the first century, and in the Gentile world specifically, there were thousands of animals, clean animals, you know, goats and sheep, maybe sometimes cows, that were being sacrificed to a pagan deity. And then, after it was being sacrificed to a pagan deity, they were selling it in the meat market. So believers were saying, I don't want to buy a goat that was sacrificed to an animal. And they didn't know. They didn't know. It could, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. It wasn't sure. So believers that were getting kind of self-righteous, they decided, hey, let's just be vegetarians. Since we don't know, and it's the same thing here. When you go to a supermarket and you buy a steak, you don't know if it was drained correctly, if the blood was drained correctly. But what did the Apostle Paul say? He said, as long as it's clean, don't ask. If they're telling you it was done wrong, then that's one thing. But if not, because the kingdom of Yahweh is not meat and drink. But these people were over here thinking, well, it's more righteous just not to eat meat at all. But what does Paul say? He says, assist the one who is weak in the faith, not to judgments of your own thoughts. One indeed believes to eat all things, but being weak, another one eats only vegetables. So he's saying the self-righteous one, the one that wouldn't eat that, he called them weak. You know, and you understand it. Because like I said, it's one thing if that person is parading and saying, hey, eat this meat that was just sacrificed to Apollo. But the fact that you go into a market and you're buying a goat, and it's just a goat, it's you know, that not to eat meat at all because of that. Paul is calling that the weak one. But what does he say? He says, the one eating, do not despise the one not eating, and the one not eating, do not judge the one eating, for only received him. So basically, it also says in Romans, if something offends your conscience, don't do it. And that's the point here that he's trying to make, right? That if something is offending you, don't do it. He says, who are you judging another's servant? To your own master, he stands or falls. But he will stand, for his master is able to make him stand. So you know what? If someone is offended and doesn't want to eat that, leave it be. If someone is eating it and they're not offended, leave it be. Don't judge. It's no more righteous to eat it, and it's no more righteous not to eat it. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. So, but what does that have to do with our message today? Let's continue. We'll go down to verse 14. Because what they were saying is, by that clean meat, by that goat or that sheep being sacrificed to Apollo, that it was becoming common. Now it became common. It wasn't unclean, because sheep is not unclean and goat is not unclean. But they were saying, this has become common now. And look what he says. He says, I know and am persuaded by Yeshua Yahweh that nothing by itself is common. Right? So this is what I'm saying. It doesn't make it good and it doesn't make it bad. Nothing is common by itself, except to the one deeming anything to be common, it is common. So something that, like he said, something that is being used by everybody. He says, but if your brother is grieved because of your food, you no longer walk according to love. Do not by your food destroy that one for whom the Messiah died. Then do not let your good be evil spoken for the kingdom of Yahweh is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So here we go again, and we've talked about this other times. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We should eat good. We should try to eat right. But we're living in a world where it's limited. Especially in the day and age we're living in now, because even your gardens aren't the same as what they were 20 years ago. The soils are depleted. There's all kinds of chemicals in it. So you don't be defeatist and eat all bad things because of that. But it's limited. The kingdom of Yahweh is not for this physical body. So although the Holy Spirit's in this body, I want to try my best, and I don't want to eat refined sugar, and I don't want to eat, you know, refined flour, and I don't want to eat things that I know are bad, and pretty much anything in plastic, you know, ease, you know. You know, if you buy something in the store, something simple, you know, like a potato chip, and there's 30 ingredients, it's probably better not to get it, you know. But he's saying that's not the kingdom of Yahweh, right? That's not the kingdom of Yahweh. But he's saying this 2,000 years ago to remember. He's not saying it today. And what I want to show you today is that common has become totally different. Because basically common means what everyone does, right? But if you lived in 1844 in Little House on the Prairie, common wasn't so bad, right? The only difference between your Christian neighbor and you, because in 1844 they weren't saying the law's done away with. That came in the early 1900s. In 1844, they were keeping it. Their difference was they thought Sunday was the Sabbath, you know. But that's the only difference between you and your neighbor, was that you were keeping Saturday and they were keeping Sunday. And even a lot of Christians, Christmas in America was outlawed in the 16th and 17th. It was outlawed because of its paganism. But now, right? Now that was common back then. That was the way everybody was. But what is common today? Start thinking about this as we get into it. Common means the way everybody is. It's used by everybody. And that's why today, common, and most of the time, is rejected by Yahweh, right? So the Jews didn't understand this. As a matter of fact, in the first century, if olive oil was even pressed by a Gentile, Jews would not use it. So that's how far they went, you know? And the Pharisees, the Orthodox Jews today who come from the Pharisees, it's the same way. If you go in their house and ask for a glass of water, they'll gladly give it to you. But after you drink the water, they'll break the cup. They'll never use it again. Because, you know, you're subhuman. You're a Gentile in their eyes, right? So this is what it's coming down to. So now, when you have this, right? Now you have these people, because before it was only Israelites in the covenant. There was nobody else in the covenant. But now in the new covenant, we're starting to see that Yahweh is going to open up not only to Israelites, you know, and proselytes who live in the state of Israel, but he's going to open up to people in Greece, and he's going to open up to people in all these other places. And these people are Gentiles, and they have Gentile customs. So now what's going to happen? Because the Jewish people will not even sit at the same table and eat with these other people. And this is where common comes into play for us to kind of understand it. So now let's go to Acts 10. Because we see it here in meat and drink, which isn't so important. But in the book of Acts, we're going to see it as more important. Because now it's people that are being called common, right? It's not just the food and the culture of the society, but it's the people. So in Acts 10 and verse 9, and this is where, right, Cornelius, who was a centurion. He's a Roman, you know, he's an Italian, and he's fearing though Elohim, and he's a good person, and Yahweh's calling him. He's going to be the first proselyte called to faith from the Roman Empire here. So he's telling Cornelius to go meet the Apostle Peter, Kepher, and see him. And this is where we're going to pick up the story in verse 9. And the next day, as they passed along the road and drew near to the city, Simon Peter went up on the roof to pray about the sixth hour. And he hungered and desired to eat. And while he prepared for himself, a stupor fell over him, almost like a trance, right? And he saw the heaven being opened, and a certain vessel like a great sheet coming down on him, being bound by four corners and let down onto the earth, in which all four-footed animals of the earth and the wild beasts and the creeping things and the birds of the heaven. And a voice came to him saying, "Rise up, Peter, slay and eat." And Peter said, "Elohim forbid, my master, because I have never eaten anything common or unclean." So this is interesting. They use this to say that in the New Testament we could eat unclean food. What they're missing here is, here's a big sheet and you have everything on the sheet, like a supermarket, right? You have pork, you know, pig, you have cow, you have sheep, you have goat. So when you go in a supermarket, would you not shop in a supermarket simply because they sell unclean food in there? Of course not. You know, unless you only went to a kosher supermarket. But you wouldn't buy the unclean food. You wouldn't touch the unclean food. So here with Peter, he could very easily just took the sheep. You know, he could have had a leg of lamb. But what he's saying is he's never eaten anything common or unclean, because according to the Jewish custom, if the sheep was even on the same sheet with the pig, everything is common. It's, you can't touch it. So now he says, and it happens again three times, and the vessel was taken out. Why three times? The resurrection, right? That's the resurrection number. Why? That's why it's happening three, because it's the resurrection that's changing the situation, right? Now drop down to verse 25. And as Peter was coming and meeting him, Cornelius fell at his feet and worshipped. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself am also a man," right? We're human beings. We don't worship other human beings. But Peter lifted him, saying, "Stand up, I myself." And talking with him, he went in and found many having come together. And he said, "You know that it is not lawful for a Yehudian, a Jew, man to associate with or come near to a foreigner who is not a son of his tribe." Where does it say that in the Torah? It doesn't. That's from the oral law. "But Elohim showed me concerning a man not to say he is common or unclean." Okay, two different things. One is pig, pork, right? That is defiled. It's the word of Yahweh. It's never going to change. The other is common, used by everybody, right? It's not set apart to Yahweh. So it's not bad to, when you're in the world and you're just an average person, to be common. That's okay. And to use common things, because that's what you're like. But once you're set apart to Yahweh, you can't be common anymore. Because now the state of being common, like the Laodicean, it becomes actually defiled to Yahweh. It becomes rejected by Yahweh. So he said not to call man common or unclean. So basically, like I said, what we're learning here is it doesn't matter your race, your gender. When you come to faith in the new covenant, all that matters is your faith in Yeshua. That's what matters, right? But the Jews in the first century, they couldn't get past this. They couldn't get past that a non-Israelite was equal with them in the covenant. And this is what he's saying. Elohim showed him concerning a man not to say that he is common or he is unclean. Right? Making it like everybody else. Drop down to verse 44. "As Simon Peter was yet speaking these words, the Holy Spirit rested on all those hearing the word, all the Gentiles. And the brothers, those circumcised who came with him, were amazed and astonished that the gift of the Spirit was even poured upon the Gentiles." They couldn't even believe it. "For they heard them speaking in different languages and magnifying Yahweh. Then Simon answered, 'Can anyone forbid the water that these be baptized, who the Holy Spirit received, even as we also?' And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of our Master Yeshua the Messiah. Then they asked him to remain some days." Wow. So they received the Holy Spirit and they're baptized. And this is how Yahweh showed him that all of us, no matter where you come from, doesn't matter, that in the New Testament we're all the same, right? What things Yahweh has purified, do not make common. What things Yahweh purified, don't make common. But according to the word of Yahweh, he will never purify something he called unclean. There's no way that he will ever purify something that he called unclean. Acts 11 and verse 9. He says, but a voice answered me the second time out of heaven, what Yahweh has cleansed, you do not make common. So what does Yahweh cleanse? Yahweh cleanses people. Yahweh doesn't cleanse pork, because according to his word, pork is unclean. He doesn't cleanse fornication. He doesn't cleanse covetousness. He doesn't cleanse any of these things. Because all of those things, according to his word, are unclean. They're never going to change. But people can change. People can change. People can go from a state of defilement into being common. Or they can go from a state of being common to being kadosh, set apart. But when you're kadosh, you can't become common or unclean. You can't become either. And this is the problem with some brethren, I think. That because they're not unclean, they think it's okay to be common. They don't see that it's also rejected by Yahweh. So now I want to get into this specifically. So, let's take the Sabbath day to begin with, right? The Sabbath day is set apart, right? It's not common. Sunday is day one, day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six. The 6 days of the week are common. You work, you do whatever you have to do. You could do whatever you want, but it's common. It's used by everybody the same way. The seventh day is set apart. And there's things that you're not supposed to do in that way. So when you're cooking on Sabbath, or you're cleaning on Sabbath, or you're doing your own pleasure on Sabbath, you're reading common books. You know, there might be nothing wrong with reading a book about, how to make different types of homemade breads. But if you do that on Sabbath, you're making the Sabbath common. That's a day. That's something you do the 6 days of the week. When you work in your garden on Sabbath, you're making it common because that's what you do the other 6 days. And this is where we have to see the importance of why it violates the Sabbath. It's not doing something that is unclean. You're not doing something abominable. You're doing something that you would do the other 6 days. But what you do is when you take something that is kadosh, and you're doing something common, you're making the kadosh common. And then it becomes rejected by Yahweh. Psalm 12 in verse 6 and 7. Psalm 12 in verse 6 and 7. And this is what, as I get into these specific examples, I want everyone to think about this in your life. Because like I said, there's people that have been not working on Sabbath for 40 years, right? Maybe they don't do laundry on Sabbath or whatever. But they are making it common by doing other things that they do other parts of the week, you know. Shouldn't be watching TV on Sabbath. Shouldn't be watching news on Sabbath. You don't need that stuff. That's for the other 6 days. But Psalm 12 in verse 6 says, the words of Yahweh are pure words, right? They're set apart. They're holy. They're kadosh. Like silver refined in an earthen furnace, purified seven times. Seven is the number of completion. You shall keep them, O Yahweh. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. And, you know, I believe the greatest blessing Yahweh has given our congregation in this end times is this Bible. I mean, it is wonderful to think to have a Bible that isn't perfect because it's touched by man, but it's the best translation, at least into English, I believe we have. And it has the names of Yahweh and Yeshua. And you don't have to have, like in my King James Bible, there was more things crossed out than things I could read. You know, it doesn't have to be that way. But you want to know something? This book, like it says here, this book is kadosh. When you don't read this book every day, it becomes common. When you stick it on a shelf with all the other books, and it becomes common. And that's what I want to ask. Are you making the word of Yahweh common? Because there's two ways to do it. You could make his word common, like I said, by Sabbath, by working on Sabbath or doing things you would do every other day. And that's why to a new person, how do you explain to a new person how to keep Sabbath? Exactly what I'm saying now. Just tell them, whatever you do the other 6 days, don't do. If it's set apart, that means there should be things you're only doing on Shabbat that you don't do the other 6 days. But it's the same way. And that's why I say, in one way I was thinking about it, this has been our greatest gift that Yahweh's given us. But maybe also, it can also be a stumbling block. I know because I have like five or six Hebraic Roots Bibles, because sometimes it's hard to travel with them, you know, and I have one Bible in one. But I don't want it to become common. You know, when you have that one Bible and it's like gold and you hold it and you got all your notes in it, and you don't want Yahweh's word to become like it's common, like it's like, oh, we got 12 of them. You know, like I saw somebody, I forget where we were, but somebody had their Bible, their Hebraic Roots Bible that they had for whatever it is, 5 or 6 or 7 years, and somebody was there and they gave it to them. They said, I take it, I'll get another one. And you know, and I was there and I said, you know what? I'll give you the shirt off my back, but I won't give you my Bible. I won't give you my Bible because I got all my notes in that Bible. I got my things on. That Bible is my gold. That Bible is what sets me apart to Yahweh. And man, this thing means more than anything in my life. So I'm not going to give you it because it would hurt me more than it would help you. I'll give you another one. You know, we have a whole bunch. I'll give you a whole bunch. But for someone to just nonchalantly take it, it shows they're not setting it apart to Yahweh. And we have to think about this. Are we making the word of Yahweh common? And that's why you really got to understand what common means, right? You got to understand it. It's the way everybody does something. And for the world, it doesn't mean it's necessarily wrong, right? Like public school, that's common. For the world, it's okay. And for the world, it might even be better than okay. But for Yahweh's people, it doesn't sanctify you. Homeschooling sanctifies you because it's separated from what other people do. Are you making, when you ignore your Bible, when you don't read your Bible, you're making it common. Matthew 28 and verse 18. Matthew 28 and verse 18, right? The Great Commission. And coming up, Yeshua talked with them saying, all authority in heaven and earth was given to me. Then having gone, disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I commanded you, and behold, I am with you all the days until the completion of the end. So here it is that the Great Commission that Yahweh gives us, and this work is set apart to Yahweh. When you put your own work first, you're making the work of Yahweh common. When you don't have a ministry, you make the work of Yahweh common. This work has to be set apart. And that's why I said, the fact that you love Yahweh more, it doesn't mean you love your family less. Everything in life is priorities, and your priority is what you get done. And you can't make the work of Yahweh common. It can't be like everything else. It's got to be our top priority, because it's the most important thing that's going on in the world today. The work of Yahweh is set apart. When you put your own work first, you make Yahweh's work common, used by all, no different than anything else. The sanctuary of Yahweh in Jerusalem was the most set apart building in the world. So set apart that even Israelites were not allowed inside that temple. When Yeshua was alive, he went in the temple court. He never went in the temple because he wasn't a Levite. It was set apart only for the priests. Yet it was a shadow of the true sanctuary, right? It was a shadow, which is the body of Messiah. John 2 and verse 18. John 2 and verse 18. Then the Jews answered and said to Yeshua, what sign do you show us since you do these things? Yeshua said to him, tear down this sanctuary, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then the Jews said, this sanctuary was 46 years being built. Do you raise it up in 3 days? But he spoke about the sanctuary of his body, right? He's talking about that was a type, that was a symbolic building of Yahweh's sanctuary until Yeshua would come. And now his body, his literal body, which we are a part of, is the sanctuary of Yahweh, which he is the head of. The body of Messiah is the sanctuary of Yah. You must not make your life common. And that's why I said, the foods we eat, the kingdom of Yahweh is not food and drink, but the Holy Spirit is physically in our body. So we should only want to put good foods in our body, not like the world does, right? The world eats all corn syrup and all these things. We shouldn't want to do it because they do it. We should want to put the good things into our body because we're different. We're sanctified to Yahweh. The things we watch, you know, things we watch, like I said. Some programs, it doesn't mean that they're bad programs, but are they set apart to Yahweh? You know? 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16 and 17. He says, do you not know that you are a sanctuary of Yahweh and the spirit of Yahweh dwells in you? And whoever defiles the sanctuary of Yahweh, Yahweh will destroy. For the sanctuary of Yahweh is kadosh, set apart, which you are. We are set apart to Yahweh, right? So the world, everything in the world is common. And like I said, today, it's not only common, most of it is defiled. Because it's not a world like it was most of the time before. A lot of this stuff that is common in the world is also defilement. Because what's common means used by all. It's what's normal. It's what everyone accepts as normal. Today they accept abortion. That's common. Homosexuality, transgenders, all this stuff is common. It was never common before, but it's common today. But it's not common to us. Because we are kadosh. We are set apart to Yahweh. So we can't allow these things in our life. Facebook, social media, Hollywood, iPhones, malls, makeup, shopping centers. It's all things that are common to the world, but it shouldn't be common to us. That's why I said, are you affecting them or are they affecting you? How much different when someone meets you do they see that you're of the world? You know? And yes, it should be in superficial things, like our dress, right? Because that's the first thing people see. But it shouldn't only be in superficial things. It shouldn't just be with when they look at us how we dress. That's important because first impressions make a lot. But it needs to be in our heart. It needs to be in our character. Because even like going to Amish country and visiting there, I was very surprised that a lot of the Amish, like some of the Amish, even families we met, that are very, very sincere to their faith and everything. But we saw other Amish girls with painted fingers, cell phones. And no different to the world. They still wore the little doily on their head as if that somehow makes you holy, makes you kadosh to Yahweh wearing a doily, and it doesn't. It simply doesn't. It's our character. It's our life, right? And like he says, we are the sanctuary of Yahweh, which is kadosh. And if you destroy the sanctuary of Yahweh, he will destroy you. It's that simple. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit in you, which you have from Yahweh? You are not yourself. You were bought with a price. That's why I said the greatest thing that sanctifies us is the blood of Yeshua. The greatest price of anything. Heaven's best. You know? His life is worth more than all of our lives put together. You're bought with a price. Glorify Yahweh in your body and your spirit, which belong to Yahweh. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to Him. So we have to make sure we're setting apart ourselves to Him. Book of Haggai. Book of Haggai, chapter 2 and verse 12. Book of Haggai, chapter 2 and verse 12. He says, behold, one bears holy flesh in the wing of his garment and touches his wing to the bread or boiled food or wine or oil or any food. Will it become holy? And the priest answered and said, no. So if you have something that's holy, right? You have something that's kadosh. You have the showbread in the temple. That's kadosh. And you're carrying that showbread. And now you touch whatever, a chair. Or you touch, like it says here, bread or wine or oil. Does it make that kadosh? No. If something is kadosh and you touch something that's common, it doesn't make it kadosh. But look what he says. But if the unclean of body touches these, is it unclean? And the priest answered and said, it is unclean. So now you're kadosh. You're set apart to Yahweh. When you're going on Facebook and you're going on social media and you're going on, to the movie theater to watch the new Hollywood movie that's out, you know what's happening? You're taking from, you were kadosh, you're not kadosh anymore. You've become common and you've become rejected by Yahweh. It's that simple. So you can't take your kadoshness and make something that's not kadosh, kadosh, but you can certainly make your kadosh common if you don't. And look what he says. And Haggai answered and said, so is this people and so is this nation before me, declares Yahweh. And so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. And that's what's happened. The world has gone from common to unclean. And everything that they're doing now is completely defiled. And it's not just a portion anymore. It's not like if we take that sheet, right? Peter's sheet again. And we had goats, and we had sheep, and we have cow. We have all these good things, but we also have pig, and we also have maybe, you know, whatever is unclean. No, now it's the whole sheet is unclean. What's become normal to the world is completely unclean. Completely unclean. And it's unbelievable. I mean, you walk out there in society, and somebody starts talking to you, and you realize they're dressed like a woman, but that's a guy. You can hear his voice. What's wrong? What's wrong with society that they're pushing this? They're making it common. You know, there's always been homosexuality, but it wasn't common. You know, it was like people were ashamed of it, and they kept it quiet because they knew it was something that was defiled. But now Satan has made it all common. He's made it all common. And when you go into the world and you're part of the world, and like I said, now in the cancel culture, wow, am I happy I'm not part of any of that stuff. You know, and you talk to people sometime and they're like, hey, we got to do something about this because Facebook and Twitter and all these things, they're banning people. And it's like, good luck to you. I don't have to do anything about it. I wasn't part of it then, and I'm certainly not part of it now. And that's why Yahweh doesn't want us to be part of those things, because it makes you common. Yahweh doesn't need Twitter. You know, he gets his word across pretty good if you're reading his word every day. He doesn't need a Twitter account. It's that simple. But we want to make sure we're keeping ourselves kadosh. We don't want to be common, because common is used by all. It's part of the world. And look at the world today. Look at the world today. When you're part of the world, you make yourself common. It's the most common world ever. And the New World Order wants to make everything in society the same way, right? So it's the same way. Like someone that's a homosexual, I'm not against them. I'm not out there with signs. I don't believe in it myself. What they want to do is their business. Everyone has to come before the judgment seat of Yeshua. But you know what they want to do? They want me to believe it. They want me to accept it. They want to force me to say it's okay. And they want to make me common. And I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. We have to decide that we are going to stay kadosh. We're going to stay sanctified. And you know what? Will we be a small group? Of course. It's always been that way. Since the Garden of Eden, it's always been a small group. But wow, in the world that you look at there today, I am glad to be part of a small group, because I don't want to be part of the common group. I don't want to be part of the common group, because that's what they're trying to do. Like I said, cancel culture, abortion, homosexuality, transgenders, it's all common. Everything is common. And even in the government in the USA, you know, they got a new president in there, President Biden, and a new government in there. They didn't try to put people in who were the most qualified. They were trying to find out, are there any more one-armed lesbian, you know, midgets that we could find somewhere? It was anyone that was totally different into these cultures that they're trying to get everybody to accept. So it doesn't matter anymore how qualified you are. What matters are how common you are. That's what matters. And if you're not common, then they're going to cut you off. They want to cut you off from all this stuff. So let's go to Ephesians 4 and verse 17. Ephesians 4 and verse 17. Because I'm telling you, brethren, as a people, we're too common. This hit me when I was studying a couple of years ago on the Amish. And like I said, the Amish aren't perfect. I spent enough time with them to see they got their own problems, and they admit it. They don't try to say they are. But I'll tell you they, one thing they are. They're not common. They're certainly not common. And for 400 years, do you know what they went through to stay the way they are? Something as simple as cars, right? What you would think it only helps you to get somewhere quicker to do this. And they said, no, you know why? Because the way that they decide if something they should do or not is, will this bring my relationship with Yahweh closer? And unless that answer is yes, they don't want to do it. And that's why photography, people misinterpret them and think that they don't do it because it's breaking the second commandment. It's not breaking the second commandment. Because if photography was breaking the second commandment, you couldn't go and have an x-ray. That's a photograph, right? The reason why they don't do photographs is it's vanity. It doesn't help to bring you closer to Yahweh. But they stayed this way. And when I'm studying them and I'm thinking, well, these are people that aren't first fruits anymore. And they are more sanctified than we are. You know, we claim that we have all the things and we have the Sabbath and we have Yahweh's name and we have all the doctrine. But doctrine isn't going to get you into the kingdom of Yahweh. It may keep you there once you get in. You know, we need the right doctrine. It's important. But it's more than doctrine. It's got to be from your heart. You have to love Yahweh with your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And the Amish, they have that. They have that, that they won't compromise, that they don't want to become common. And, you know, every day of their life, the way they dress, the way they're sneered at, the way they're snickered at, and it doesn't matter. So Ephesians 4 and verse 17, he says, "Therefore I say this and testify in the Master, that you no longer walk even as the rest of the nations walk, in the vanity of their mind." Wow, how could it be any simpler? That you no longer walk as the rest of the nations walk, in the vanity of their mind. Vanity of vanities, it's all vanity. "Having been darkened by their intellect," right? Evolution. "Having been darkened by their intellect, being alienated from the life of Elohim because they have no knowledge." Wow. These are all the ones that with the all the letters after the names, you know, PhDs and doctorates and all this. And look what Yahweh says. "Being alienated from the life of Elohim because they have no knowledge and they're ignorant." They may have a lot of knowledge in the world, but they're ignorant to Yahweh, which is because of the hardness of their heart. As they become more knowledgeable in the world, they become more stupid in their souls. "Who, having cast off all feelings, surrendered themselves up to lust and to the practice of uncleanness with the desire for more and more." But that is not what you have been taught in Messiah, right? And that's why we shouldn't have a covetous spirit. The Bible says we should be thankful for everything we have. And we need to be thankful for what we have, not be thinking about what we don't have. That is not what you have been taught in Messiah. "If indeed you heard him and were taught in him as the truth is in Yeshua, lay aside all your former practices and put off the old man, having been degenerated with deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new man who is created by Elohim in righteousness and true kadosh," true holiness. Set apart to Yahweh. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. And it's sad that some people get depressed because they can't be more involved with some of these worldly things. It's sad. Because we should be thrilled. We should be thanking Yahweh every day of our life that he's protected us from these things. Because it's all phony. It's all fake. And I feel bad for all the young ones that don't know any better. The children, you know. Because they're being really, really psychologically destroyed in our society. That your character and your worth is based on how many thumbs up or how many thumbs down that somebody's giving you. That they look at somebody else's page and think, oh, that person is so like when that person is seeing a psychiatrist because they're having so many mental problems. You know, look at all these Hollywood people and everything else. And it's so sad. And the answer is only Yahweh. That's it. And if ever a message like this, it was always there from the Garden of Eden. And this has been the message since Yeshua. But if it was ever needed, it's today. Because like I said, what was common 2,000 years ago is abominable now to Yahweh. So even 2,000 years ago, he was rejecting common to believers. But today, it's become nothing but abomination. Everything out there is abomination. And we have to make sure. Because like I said, it may not look like the worst thing in the world, you know, some of these programs that they have, but they're certainly not kadosh. They're certainly not kadosh. Are you different than the world? Are you different than the world, or do you act like them? Are you different than the world, or do you act like them? Do you get angry like the world? Lie like the world? Cheat on taxes like the world? Worry about money, possessions, how you look? Do you watch the same programs that they watch? Go on the same blogs as the world does? Listen to the same music? Work in the same places? Use the same social media pages as they do? Then you are common, used by all. You're no different than anybody else. Not set apart to Yahweh. It's easy to understand what is unclean and what is kadosh. But in the world of commercial Babylon, it's not so easy to understand what is common. When you see from a religious standpoint, you see churches selling the word of Yahweh. $49.99 DVDs you have to have for salvation. You know, so it's really hard in the world of commercial Babylon to understand what is common. Ministries sell the word of Yahweh. They beg for money. They commercialize everything. The whole world is the same. Babylon has covered the whole earth. So it doesn't matter where you go. It's not just in the USA. It's everywhere. Commercial Babylon has covered the whole world now. Are you part of it Or are you set apart from it? And that's what it comes down to. Are you part of it or are you set apart from it? Public schools, like I said, are not biblical, but they are common. Public schools are not biblical, but they are common. I just saw this past week, I forget where this school is in the USA, where teaching children like 5 and 6 years old these really, really bad perverted things. Transgenders, homosexuals, WhatsApp, you know, shopping centers everywhere you look. And you know what? Also, the vaccine. Why do they want everybody on earth to have it? Because they want it to be common. They don't want the sick people to have it. Not only the sick people, because that's only a small percentage. They want everyone to have it because they want it to be common. Revelation 13 and verse 16. And the small and the great and the rich and the poor and the free and the slave, right? From Africa to Canada, everybody can have it. It'll be common. It causes that they give to them all a mark on their right hand or in their foreheads. Everybody gets it because everybody's common. Everybody gets it. It's kind of interesting. I was looking at those scriptures a couple days ago. And it's interesting. Do you ever notice where with the mark of the beast, it doesn't say it just gives them. It's not forced. It says it causes all. They make a cause for people to have to get it. They cause. What happens when you cause someone to do something? Like if I had 6 parking spots and I wanted you to only take one, how could I cause you to do that? I can block the other spots. And then I would cause you to have to park in that one spot. So it's the same way here. They're causing everyone to take it. How? By creating a disease, you know, by creating a virus to cause the people to have something and panic them against it. They cause them. They don't force them to take it. They cause it. And do most people want it? Yes. Even the people in the beginning that said, I might not be the first one to take it. A lot of them were the second or the third, right? So even the vaccine, the mark of the beast will be common, used by all, but rejected by Yahweh. Last scripture, 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6. Verse 14. It says, do not unite in marriage or be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership does righteousness have with lawlessness? What fellowship does light have with darkness? And what agreement does the Messiah have with Satan? Wow. You know, like I said, if that wasn't in my Bible, that would be pretty heavy words. You know, like if somebody was, one of our youth were going to marry somebody who was a nice person, but they weren't a believer. And I went up to him and said, why would you marry that person? What light does Messiah have with Satan? They'd be really offended, right? To say, you're calling my fiance Satan? No, I'm not. That's what the Bible says, right? There's Kadosh, and there's common and unclean. It's one or the other. What agreement does the Messiah have with Satan? Because remember, Satan is cunning, and he's not always coming as a little red guy with horns on his head. Like it says in Corinthians, a lot of times he comes as an angel of light, like with a vaccine, right? This vaccine is going to help everybody in the world until you find out what it does to the human body and how it destroys it. What agreement does the Messiah have with Satan? Or what part does a believer have with an unbeliever? And what harmony has the sanctuary of Elohim with idols, right? That's why we're Kadosh to Yahweh. Because even Christianity is filled with idolatry. The whole religion is a religion of idolatry. For you are the sanctuary of the living Elohim, as it is said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. And I will be their Elohim and they will be my people. Do you realize that? That if you're baptized and you had hands laid on you, you have the Holy Spirit in you, that Yahweh and Yeshua are literally dwelling inside of you by their one Spirit. Because of this, because of that, what does he say? Come out from among them and be separated, be Kadosh, says Yahweh. And do not touch the unclean thing and I will receive you. Right? Do not touch the unclean thing. So that's what I think. Sometimes brethren are thinking that common is okay. It's not pork. You know, I'm not eating pork. Oh, yeah. It's 99% sugar, but it's not pork. Come out and don't touch the unclean thing. Many reasons why people tell me why they want to be on Facebook and social media, but I can give you one reason not, because Yahweh's not in it. Yahweh's not in it. That's why I say, all you have to do is ask one simple question. Why was it made? Who made it and for what reason? And it wasn't made by Yahweh, and it wasn't made for good reason. Come out from among them and be separate, and don't touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you. You will be sons and daughters to me, says Yahweh Almighty. Then having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting kadosh in the fear of Elohim. Perfecting kadosh. Perfecting it. That's what our life is about. We're to become masters in this, right? And how do you become a master? By repetition, like I was saying. We have to do it over and over and over again. That's why we have to be reading our Bibles every day. We have to be praying every day. We have to be fasting often. We have to have our minds focused, because if not, you ain't going to make it. That's how we'll get through this end. That's the way you endure to the end. It doesn't mean just hanging in. It means being productive by being strong. And it's just like an athlete. If you know anything about athletes, they just don't show up and play one day. They train and train and train. And Paul actually used that as an example to us, right? We're running in this race, and now we're getting toward the end. And the ones that win are the ones with stamina. And the way you get stamina is practice, by doing it over and over and over. Keeping yourself like that. So we must come out of this evil, wicked, satanic system of Satan. Don't be common like everybody else. As all that are common and defiled. The world is our mission field, but we're not to be like them. If we are common, then why would they ever change? Right? The world is our mission field. Doesn't mean you don't go to the people and witness to them. They are a mission field. But if you're just like them, then why would they have to change? If you're not doing anything different than they are, then why on earth would they change? We need to set the example to be kadosh to Yahweh. Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.